Good morning. Hope you guys enjoyed the Sleep Late Tuesday. Always a treat. Always accentuated by the Krispy Kreme donuts. People care for us and take care of us well here, don't they? Well, this morning we have another chance to come back to these promises of God, back to the heart of Christianity, in which we've said many times now that the heart of Christianity is not our performance, our grip on God, our performance, our promises to Him, but it's His promises to us. That He is a faithful promiser who gives us precious promises of grace so that we can live as He intended us to live. And we've said that we're going through the Scriptures and we're trying to mine out, we're trying to treasure up these promises that God makes to us as people so we can know Him better, so we can share His promises with others, so that we can pray them in our times of doubt and struggle and of fear, and then we can actually live His promises. We can be the people He made us to be. Well, this morning I want to take us to another promise of God, and it's one that we actually sing quite often here at Greystone. It's from Isaiah chapter 43, and it's verses 1 through 3, and then verse 5. And then I want to take us to another one that kind of echoes the same promise from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. But listen to God's word for us this morning. It says this, Thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you, have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. He says, do not fear, for I am with you. And then in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the Lord says, I will never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. Who in here has read any of the books called The Chronicles of Narnia? Yes. Family favorites of ours. Margaret Ann and Sam are actually reading through The Voyage of the Dawn Treader right now. But if you made me pick one of my favorites, I think it'd be the one called The Horse and His Boy, which tells a story of Shasta. You got a koozie with the name Shasta on it right now. Yeah, Shasta, who is an orphan. And he lives a hard, hard life. He lives a life in which he is neglected and not taken care of, sort of a lonely existence. But in the story, the horse and his boy, he goes on this grand adventure. And he finds out at the end that he's really a prince who's been loved and longed for, but he's lived this hard life as an orphan. And so his whole life he lives thinking that no one cares, no one knows, no one is there to listen to him, no one's there to love him, no one is there to know him, no one is there to walk along beside him through life. In one of the chapters, chapter 11 of the Horse and His Boy, is called The Unwelcomed Fellow Traveler. Shasta once again finds himself in a very lonely place. It's a dark, dark night. Fog just completely envelops the forest path that he's traveling. He's all by himself. He's in an unfamiliar place, all alone. And of course, when you're alone and you're scared of being alone, you start to think about all the things that have gone wrong in your life. And he starts to recount all the things that have happened, all the misadventures, all the hardships, all the trials, all the turmoil that he's experienced. And he concludes that he is the most unlucky person in the world, the most unfortunate boy who's ever lived. And he hangs his head and he begins to cry. Very, very lonely, very, very tough space to be in. Yeah, I work at Davidson College with college students. And if I was to say what is the number one problem facing college students, it'd be very easy. It's not overwork. It is not not pressure, but it is loneliness. The fear of being left out, the fear of being isolated, the fear of being alone, the fear of never being known at all. Loneliness and the fear of being alone are the hardest things I think any of us have to face. Not being loved, not being known for, not being cared for, not being present with another person. And why do we fear that so bad? Why is that the number one problem among college students? Why is it probably the number one problem for us in this room? Because we were made for so much more. We were made for a relationship with God like a hand fits into a glove. We were made for a relationship with other people that doesn't have strife and arguing and bitterness and anger and misunderstanding. We were made for that. Some of the most beautiful passages in the Bible are in Genesis 1 and 2, in which it describes Adam and Eve walking in the cool of the day with the Lord God. And they're talking back and forth. And there's this beautiful picture of them walking together and being known and being present with the Lord. And we long for that, don't we? And we have little tidbits of that. Think about those quiet moments after supper when you get that good bag of frittles or that frilky way, and you're walking along the pageant court with your friends, and it's a little bit quieter and it's a little bit cooler, and you experience that sense of being known and being loved and being cared for and being listened to. And we long for more and more of that. And yet we fear it that we don't have it. So what happened, right? Why do we fear that? Why do we not have that? Why does it seem so inaccessible? Why does it seem so hard to come by? And when it's here, why does it seem like it's always kind of slipping away? Well, that is the craziness, that is the insanity of sin. Our deepest fear is being alone, but in a crazy way, our deepest delight is to get out from under God's thumb, out from under His control, out of relationship with Him. That's exactly what Adam and Eve did in the garden. They say to God, "We don't want you to be in our life. We want to call the shots. We want to be free. We don't want to be under your thumb. We don't want to have your wedding ring on our finger." And so they threw it back in His face, and they stomped away mad and say, "We call the shots. Leave us alone." And so from that day onward, sin isolates us, and it makes us feel like we're aliens and strangers. It whispers in our ears that you're the only one. No one cares. No one knows. And so we deeply fear it, but at the same time, we deeply desire it. So what is God's response for us who want to be left alone, who want to be out from under His authority, and yet we fear it at the same time? Well, His promise for us is this: gracious presence. He says, "I am with you. You stomped away mad. You threw my wedding ring back in my face. But I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to be involved in your life. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to be present with you." He says, "Do not fear, because I created you." And more than creating you, He says, "Don't fear, because I have redeemed you." He says, "I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." You know, at Christmas time, we sing a lot of beautiful songs. And one of the songs I love the best is, "O come, Emmanuel." And what that is God's people crying out for God to be present with His people, to come back and to make us feel His presence, to know His presence, to be cheered by His presence. You know what Emmanuel means? It means God with us. And the Lord Jesus is God making good on His promise that He'll never leave us alone. He'll never forsake us. He'll never let us get away. He'll never be uninvolved. He was so committed to us and to being present with us that He actually became one of us so that He could redeem us from our bad choices. God's promise for us this morning is His gracious presence to welcome us back into His family, even though we're the ones that walked away, to calm us and to take those anxious fears and say, "I'm in control of those." And then to cheer us, to make us glad of His presence in the dark times and in the hard times. Well, Shasta was there. He'd hung his head. He'd begun to cry. He considered he was the most unlucky boy in the world. He'd lived his life as an orphan. He didn't know yet all his beautiful past and all of his beautiful future. And he's crying. And then he realizes that as he's going through this dark, foggy, unfamiliar, lonely path through the forest, that someone's walking beside him. And he gets even a little bit more scared. Scarcely above a whisper, he says, "Who are you?" And his voice, this thing, comes back and says, "One who's waited long for you to speak to me." And he says, "Are you a giant?" He said, "You could call me a giant, but I'm not like the creatures you call giants." And Shasta says, "I can't see you at all." And he's staring so hard into the darkness and the fog. And he says, "What have I ever done to harm you? You're not going to harm me, are you?" He said, "I'm the unluckiest person in the whole world." And the voice says back to him, "I do not call you unfortunate." He says, "Don't you think it was such bad luck that I met all this bad misfortune along the way, all these lions that came into my path?" And the voice said, "There was only one lion." And he said, "How do you know?" He says, "I was the lion. I was the lion who forced you to join with Erebus. I was the cat who comforted you among the houses of the dead. I was the lion who drove the jackals away from you while you slept. I was the lion who gave horses the new strength of fear for that last mile so that you could reach King Loon in time. I was a lion you don't remember who pushed the boat in which you lay, a child near death, so it came to shore where a man sat wakeful at midnight to receive you." "Who are you?" Shasta asked. The voice said, "Myself." Very deep and low, said the whole earth shook. And again he said, "Myself," loud and clear and with joy. And then the third time he said, "Myself," whispered so softly that you could hardly hear it. And yet it seemed to come from all around you as if the leaves rustled with it. God's voice to you this morning is that He is with you. You have a choice today. You can look at your circumstances and conclude you're the unluckiest person in the world. And you can say, oh, woe is me, and live as an orphan alone in a merciless universe. Or you can take God's promise to the bank and say, I'm not left alone, even though I stomped away mad. I'm not left alone. God has not abandoned me. He has not forsaken me. He is with me because he's redeemed me. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. Let me pray for us to that end this morning. Lord, you know our fears. You know our loneliness. And Lord, we pray that in the midst of our fears and loneliness, you would come and do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Lord, that you would help us to trust and to feel your gracious presence. Your presence which didn't respond to our stomping away mad by stomping away mad in return. But you ran after us with promises of grace, promises of faithfulness. Oh Lord, help us to feel that grip around us a little bit more tightly today. We pray it in your name. Amen.